Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody enjoyed their weekend. As they say, if mother's not happy, nobody's happy, or happy wife, happy life, things like that. So I'm hoping that you met expectations regarding those who were expecting anything for Mother's Day. It's one of those things that we do as recognition, and there's no doubt about it. It spawned from the fundamental basis of our society. The nucleus of our society is the family, and the mother is the center in lots of cases. Or I should say the parents, because both mother and father have very integral roles. But I do not want to go down that path, because there's just plenty of things that I can easily go down tangents on. One of the things I will be talking, or one of the things we'll be doing, I did have my interview and conversation with Dr. Vile. And so you are going to enjoy this. I'm hoping that we can air it this week. I'm not sure if it will be tomorrow. It's just based on the events of the day. So if things go as planned, or in other words, if there's not much other than, you know, the stock market crashing and those types of things, because stock, as Reagan says, stock markets go up, stock markets go down. Sometimes there's manipulation and bad behavior, but anyway. Bottom line is, I want to make sure that, because it is a long interview, I think we talked for about 30-some minutes, and so I want to make sure that I have that amount of time to kind of dedicate, because this right here is, I believe, the ground floor that Dr. Vile, I'm going to have him on again, and I'm hoping that he becomes kind of a regular, because I would like the academic opinion on some of these things, because you have to understand the academic opinion doesn't necessarily mean, a choice or a decision one way or the other. I'd love to get the good doctor to, you know, sometimes step out of that and go, I think this is what we need to do. But 9 times out of 10, they're focused and they just get rooted in the practice of saying, well, yeah, and then there's always this, and then there's this, and you can take down this course. Kind of like that old Seinfeld episode when Connie, I guess, or whatever the guy's name was that was the cabinet maker, was constantly giving Jerry different ways he could do this. He could do it this way, he could do it this way, he could do it this way. And so it forced Jerry to have to make decisions, which was a good thing. However, some people just don't like having to, you know, be involved in every decision process of something maybe as innocuous as your cabinets. But I do not believe that our government is innocuous, especially if it is a government formed by the people, which, you know, was established by our sovereigns, which are our states. And so, anyway, let me just kind of give you a clue. We may be doing that tomorrow. If nothing arises, then you will hear the Vile interview tomorrow. If not, it'll be, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It will be this week. I believe that we will have a lull and we'll be able to find room for it. Because bottom line, most of the news that has been occurring is, it's not going anywhere. Censorship. I wanted to bring this up because I'm going to be talking a lot about censorship. Censorship has been around a long time, and even in the early days of America, of our republic, there was a common practice that many of the newspapers, especially in the North, started printing the Federalist Papers, but they refused to print some of the Anti-Federalist Papers in their papers. Why? In the newspapers. Why? Because they didn't want to give and lend any credit, because the journalists, the papers, whoever was in control of the printing of those papers were ideologues that wanted to see the growth of a central government and be able to do more. And you have to understand that the very beginning of the centralized government, it really ran amok at the hands of Hamilton, because Hamilton created conditions to allow speculators to make millions in the way he created the banks and so forth. I'll get into more of that as we go on, and I actually get into a little bit of that with Dr. Vile, but these things are important for you to understand so that as you look, maybe that was the making of the deep state. There is no evidence. I don't think Hamilton had really a hard or direct connection to Britain, the Anglophiles. And so I can't make that hardcore connection that what Hamilton was trying to do was playing right into Britain's hands, which ended up paving that pathway towards the Civil War, where we created so much debt that the government violated the Constitution in establishing corporations. And if you look at who the owners of our corporations are, you would not be happy. It's interesting that the Queen is the owner of our post office and many of our corporations. And so who is really getting rich? Who is really making the money and so forth? And this goes down that path of those who are pursuing the sovereign citizen to break away from these corporations and so forth. I am here to tell you that you don't have a leg to stand on. Their arguments are founded on a lot of unconstitutional things, as well as accepting unconstitutional things. What we have to do is we have to call out this whole fact that the federal government had no delegated authority. The martial law that they tried to use as a facade in saying that we've got to do this, absolutely not. They couldn't. They were not allowed to. And that's because they were not allowed to call martial law, because the way martial law was sold to the states at the time, even though the states didn't even stand up and say anything, it was all done in direct violation to how the Constitution was sold regarding the militia and so forth. And this is what we're going to be talking about with Dr. Vile. And I'm going to try to prep him for this so that he's going to be able to kind of familiarize himself with the arguments and so forth, so that you can kind of hear, because I think he's going to I don't know where he's going to stand. I don't know where he stands on the corporations and this concept of the necessity of having these corporations. But I will forward him the citations of the ratification debates regarding martial law and how it was sold to the states and how they didn't follow that. And let's just see how this pans out, because this right here is definitely the dialogue that we will be facing with academics as well as lawyers and so forth. And so anyway, I'm really looking forward to these future conversations with him, because it's different than when you get somebody that agrees with you, because sometimes he won't, and I don't expect him to agree with me. There is a problem when somebody surrounds themselves with people who agree with them. And I'm okay with people disagreeing, but I'm not okay with people mischaracterizing what I am doing or what I am saying. So they're kind of lays down the difference. I mean, it's one thing for somebody to have a difference of opinion and, you know, prefer something else. But when there's those folks out there, as I've mentioned before, there's this old supposedly conservative guard over the Constitution. They're claiming and misrepresenting what I am doing, and I'm not okay with that, because that right there is obfuscation, that's lies, and it's deceit. And it is progressive tactics that one would think, huh, why would a conservative group use progressive tactics like that? Huh, that's, you know, it goes against reason. Unless, and that's why I've asserted, the progressive groups have infiltrated these conservative groups, or progressive players, I should say, in leadership. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to talk about before I got into the obligatory, because I'm not going to, you know, dive deep into this. This may grow legs. Politics and law at times makes strange bedfellows. We've heard politics make strange bedfellows. I actually assert that politics and law is about the same thing. If you understand, Politics is the foundation of the making of laws or the striking of laws. Our sovereigns, our representatives in our representative government, are those who make laws. Well, they are doing this in sometimes and a lot of times in tandem efforts with the law, the courts, the lawyers, the bar, and so forth. And so you can easily extend that the things within the law at times makes and or does make strange bedfellows. And I am going to tell you that in the case of Kavanaugh, I do not believe that that is the case, especially regarding the Apple ruling. I do not think that what the government is doing and what Kavanaugh is doing, and it seems like, is everybody happy with Kavanaugh as being a selected jurist? I don't think he was the conservative guy that everybody made him out to. And I said this with Gorsuch. I do not believe you will find a good constitutional jurist available. They're all steeped in the boys club. They're all steeped by the bar, and they're all protecting their club, period. That's exactly what they're doing. And so even though we think we're going to go down this direction, we're not. We're going to go down the safe direction that the bar is willing to take us, or I should say, all the boys and girls that are associated to the bars club. And where does that go to? I think if you look at the history and the origins, that goes to Britain. Anyway, I'm at a hard break. So when we come back, I'll quickly go through the obligatories. And then we'll try to catch up on some news that hasn't really gone anywhere because it's still growing legs. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. One of the things I was going to say regarding the Supreme Court, I would not be surprised if the leftists have implanted some pretty nefarious mechanisms within Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG, and she's really dead. It's kind of like Weekend at Bernie's, and they're just keeping her up, propping her up to make the appearances at the court or when she's absolutely necessary. But they're doing their best to try to keep Trump because they don't have control over Trump. And I will tell you, the hyperbole over Kavanaugh helped make the conservatives dig their heels in. I don't think that the reason they didn't play hardball with Gorsuch is because they didn't want Gorsuch. And so they tried to just kind of let it go its course. But I don't believe that what we saw as them trying to hang Kavanaugh and by breaking the rule of law was an attempt to really unseat him. They had to have looked at him. Maybe he's not as flaming left, but look at, he's siding with the left over this Apple issue. And I will get into the Apple issue, I think, down the road. But bottom line, I can't understand why people don't recognize the fact that corporations that have monopolies, and Apple is one corporation that has a monopoly on their OS and everything else. Corporations have monopolies because government protects them. That's the only reason corporations have monopolies. It's only when government is willing to step in and create some levels of protection to allow them to do what they do. And so monopolies are good things as long as they're natural monopolies. And what I mean by a natural monopoly, look at Alcoa. Alcoa was a natural monopoly. They had no government protections. And actually, it was their competitors that came after them and said, "Hey, this is not fair. These guys, every time they make an improvement in their aluminum mining and processing and everything else, they lower their price." Because they were able to lower their price. They maintained a very specific line of profits, and they didn't want to exceed those because had they gotten greedy, it would have left room for somebody to come in and compete. So they always suppressed their prices. So aluminum was dirt cheap. So these competitors complained, and go read up on this case. Competitors complained and said, "Hey, this is unfair. They're not letting us compete because they keep their prices low." Are you kidding me? That's what we want in a good natural monopoly, is so that somebody constantly keeps their prices low. But instead, the government came in and forced Alcoa to charge higher rates to allow others to come in under those higher rates to allow them to start competing. And now we spend a lot more money on aluminum because the government assisted in the breakup of a natural monopoly. Unnatural monopolies like Apple and so forth, because government creates conditions that are always favorable for themselves. And so we can get into, all these different, we can talk about them, case by case, but you have to drill into them case by case. But 9 times out of 10, the government is always doing this in advantage for themselves as well as helping somebody else. And so we're going to talk a little bit about government's involvement in all of this. But let me first tell you that we do need your help, even though we're having, more wind coming in our sails. We need to get this message. We need to get this marketing out. And the reason why is coming up in 2020, in the election of 2020, we're going to need financial support. That's why I ask, and I don't ask all the time, please start saving a gallon of gas a week. Whatever you spend on gas or what have you, if it's $3, $4 a week, start saving that a week. I'm going to ask for you to help contribute, not to me, but to the candidates that need the help, that are the ardent supporters of the Constitution that we need to put in place to replace the rhinos who are actual representatives of the leftist agenda in Wyoming, in Idaho, and these other states. So don't be surprised next year when I say, "Okay, how much money should you have?" And I'll basically be throwing it out there that you should have a few $100s, right? I mean, if it's $2 and there is 300 days a year, it's 52 weeks, right? So 52 and 2, that's 100 something. Well, so if you've been doing this since I've been asking you for the past, what, 9 months now? If you would please start putting aside this money, then you'll probably have a few $100 to $600, depending on what you spend on gas. Because if you live in California, that's $5, right? That's 250 or more. And so I'm hoping that you get serious and say, I want to commit. I want to help. We need to help these candidates cross the finish line so that we can unseat the incumbents. And that's why primaries are so important. So we're looking for getting funding, and I need your help to help fund the PAC. I need your help to help fund these candidates, whether that's a direct funding to the candidates, I'll tell you who to support, or sending that money into a PAC that is going to try to support a slate of all the candidates we need in, that not just we, America needs in. America needs a David to stand up against the Leviathan. And these rhinos are deliberately driving us down this path of Agenda 21. I've got to get it right. Agenda 21 and the Agenda 2030 plans. And so we have to unseat that. And if we unseat it in at least Wyoming and a couple of other states, secondary and tertiary, because our focus is Wyoming. If we get Wyoming to stand up in 2020, or we get them across the finish line in 2021, we should have what we need to move Wyoming forward. So that's why you saving money and just 1 gallon of gas, that's all we're asking for you to contribute. If you want to do more than that, by all means. And we're hoping that all the listeners to this show can start really contributing to these campaigns so we can start buying the government that we need, not buy the government that's better for a very specific constituency, a group, and or a cause. What we want is to take back our government so that it is a fair, open, and even playing field for everybody. There's no more preferences for lobbyists, no more preferences for anybody, that we are going to comply to the Constitution and we're going to use the Constitution as the foundation. So anyway, you can also support us directly. We have our crowdfunding campaign out there on GoFundMe. We could use your help. Or another way you can support us directly is by buying Red State Coffee. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and click on the Red State Coffee link. Go get you some grinds. Go get you some full beans and grind them up yourself and have and enjoy the fresh coffee that is a premium roast coffee. You won't be disappointed, as I have heard from everybody that has drank it. Constitution Day is coming up. What are you doing? If you've got any plans, let me know, and we will be happy to announce what's going on in your area for Constitution Day. Thank you, by the way, for listening. This one, another way you can help, another way you can get involved, and by tuning in and telling other people, at least the message is getting out. As long as the message starts growing that we have the ability to force the federal government into compliance to the Constitution, because that's what it's all about. That's what we need to be doing. We need every politician, we need every bureaucracy, if it is unconstitutional, be disbanded, or if it's constitutional, to be in compliance. It's pretty much that simple. And so as I've scanned the news, as I always do, there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. That means you and I are going to have to do this. So coming up, if you want to learn how bad things really are, you've got to get yourself over to Red Pill Expo, Hartford, Connecticut, June 7th, 8th, and 9th on this year. And if you are not in the area, make sure you go to Red Pill Expo. I think it's redpillexpo.net and look into streaming the event. I think you're going to find that this is the way to go. Before we go into break, because I'm almost at that time, I'm not sure if you knew that Fox Entertainment and Fox News, Fox 21st Century Fox, was bought out by Disney. It seems like Disney is taking almost a monopolistic approach to owning the news media as well as entertainment and so forth. If you start looking at who Disney owns, if there's such a thing as a bad monopoly, you're going to be able to start finding it right there with Disney. And I find it ironic that Walt Disney wanted to create, you know, a legacy for, you know, for good, wholesome entertainment. And now it has become a mechanism for the deep state. There's no doubt in my mind, Walt Disney was not a deep stater. As a matter of fact, he was, if you want to call him a rogue or a maverick, because here's a guy that was in the Marine Corps, and he ended up getting a bad conduct discharge from the Marine Corps, if I remember correctly, because he wasn't a conformist. He was a nonconformist. And so he went down the path, and I've heard some pretty interesting stories about Walt. And anyway, long story short, Walt Disney, the family and or that corporation now owns Fox, and they're the same people that promote a lot of progressive agendas and news articles and so forth. We're at a hard break. We are going to be right back after this. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so, as I was saying, though, if you start looking at who and what Fox has done in the entertainment industry with some of the support of some of the most questionable types of directors, pedophilia, and that type of stuff, and some of the things that they have been exposed in doing with kids' films and so forth. It's really a sad day to see that a company with the likes of Disney, and I'm sure Walt is not happy with how they have ran and tarnished his name over the past several decades. But bottom line is Fox is now owned by Disney. And so things are changing and Fox is going to become the really well-controlled opposition for the progressive side. And there's a reason why you're never going to learn about the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 issues on Fox. There's a reason why you will not be able to hear anything that will truly start exposing the evil of Islam, the evil of communism, the evil of the communistic permeation in politics, as well as its penetration into Christianity and so forth. I am here to tell you that the truth is getting harder and harder to find on your television set unless you are reaching out to the non-traditional over the internet, because what is coming from those cable providers is not going to be a mechanism of truth. It is a mechanism of filtering and a mechanism that meets a very specific narrative. Now, here was an interesting comment that I heard. And, you know, Lieberman, it's not like I ever really liked Lieberman, but I found Lieberman to being less, you know, he left less of a bad taste in my mouth for a Democrat than most any. But Lieberman comes out, and I think this is more of his alliance with Israel, which there's nothing wrong with. Israel is a good player. They may do things, but they do things in their own interest, and you can't hold that against necessarily countries. But they believe in liberty, and they do not believe in, you know, creating puppet governments and that type of stuff. But anyway, Lieberman comes out and credits Trump with two specific moves that actually hurt the bad players who are running Iran today. And he says that Trump, quote, had the guts to take us out of a bad nuclear agreement with Iran. Now, I wish Lieberman would have been on a circuit going around undermining Obama and what they were doing, but instead he bit his tongue, unlike what Obama is doing and the progressives are constantly doing with the Bushes, Clintons, and everybody else, and how they're going after Trump. To me, that alone really stands out. It's almost like in the Kavanaugh hearings, when they were getting ready to seat him or not seat him through the hearing process, the left was galvanized in doing everything they could to, you know, use the rule of emotions instead of the rule of law to make sure he didn't get seated. And they had a really bad argument, which to me almost played in my mind of it was more of a conspiracy to get us, well, you know, this is all emotionally based, to get us to actually have a tighter resolve to making sure that somebody would be cooperative with the left. Now, that being said, if you look at what the Bushes, the Clintons, and Obama, and almost all of the Republican establishment has been doing in railing on Trump, it's not like this is just the progressives doing this, like with Kavanaugh. And so to me, I still, you can't make a final verdict until, you know, all of his work is done. And then you can kind of see, you know, the after effect, the ramifications, because there's still stuff that we're not understanding what he's doing, because a lot of that stuff is just not exposed. But the fact is that Lieberman did not go around, and unfortunately, I wish he would have. I wish other people would have that were real mavericks. But anyway, instead we had McCain, the establishment, you know, pushing the progressive agenda, and it just it infuriates me. But anyway, so what he said was the first good thing that Trump did regarding Iran was the pulling out of that. And that was a big change. And the second thing he said was the fact that he imposed sanctions on the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and also a big change in increasing the sanctions against Iran. And so those sanctions were huge. And the fact that we're seeing that ships are going into the Persian Gulf because Iran is saber-rattling again. The fact is, Iran should be reduced. And I'm telling you that Iran is a rogue state of China. That's why they have silkworm missiles there and not Russian missiles. Iran and Russia, the alliance has not truly formed, but when it does, I think you will, if you read the Bible, I think if these Isaiah or Ezekiel that talks about these two countries and how, it, you know, in those times, they're going to create this alliance. But anywho, I think that it's important to give Lieberman credit that he's actually coming out and not criticizing Trump regarding these things. Now, another facade, because I find it hard to believe that this is happening in San Francisco, but it looks like San Francisco is going to become the first city, at least this is what the press is telling, and this is how the government is going down this path, that they want to be the first city in the nation to ban facial recognition software. What in the business, we call it automatic target recognition. And so with video cameras, they have the ability with the measurements and so forth of the, you know, the eyes, nose, ears, mouth, and so forth, they can quickly identify if you're registered in their database as a target, they can start identifying you. Well, guess what? They haven't just been identifying targets. They've been identifying all citizens. And I have found out that your kids through Common Core have been registered. All of their biometrics is getting registered and recorded for the future society so that this automatic target requisition or recognition can actually be tracking everybody, your movements, where you went that day, where you were, where you weren't. And the progressives think this is a very good thing. And so with the progressives in charge of San Francisco and the fact that they're coming along saying, hey, we want to be the first city to ban this crap, I don't believe it. I believe this is hyperbole, and I believe that this is, you know, something that they – why San Francisco? Maybe it's because they're in the shadow of the Ninth Circuit Court. And so when there becomes a challenge to this down the road, that the Ninth Circuit Court will set precedence. And by that time, they'll have the shaping for the Supreme Court as necessary to support a federal mandate that everybody will use this after the next terrorist attack or what have you. This is a political move, not a noble political move, but a political move nonetheless, to ensure that the federal government and the progressives can obtain the control they need of the masses in cities in these main cities like San Francisco, LA, and so forth. The interesting thing is that it seems like Oakland, who is their neighbor, is just echoing the same thing. So I'm not going to be surprised, like I said, for something to happen in the near future, a terrorist attack or something, where the answer will be that they're going to need to put in this automatic face recognition or target recognition software that companies create. I worked for one of those companies that actually created automatic target recognition and so forth. But anyway, I believe that you have to start looking under what you see and how it doesn't make sense and go, well, why? And so we've had lots of things coming out of the Ninth Circuit Court that has been chipping away at our liberties and so forth. And supposedly these are really liberal, but no, these are communists and that is their forte. Another thing that came up in the news, I'm not sure if you follow the social justice warriors in the NFL, but Doug Baldwin, who is a leftist NFL player who has been involved in politics in promoting social justice issues, is retiring. And I'm predicting that he will be working in support of the growth of slavery to the state, as he will likely continue his campaign in social justice. You have to remember, social justice is, in terms, the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. That is the definition of social justice. So, what we're talking about is the promotion of slavery to the state, because it is the state that is going to determine by race, by demographics of any kind, whether you can proceed to go or whether you go to jail or what. And in other words, it's not about the rule of law anymore. It is about the rule of demographics and who needs to benefit based on states' statistics and data. A very bad thing. But then again, who knows? Doug Baldwin could actually read some really good books and actually wake up and become a champion for liberty, individual liberty, and individual sovereignty. I doubt it, because people that get steeped, remember, they get galvanized in this thought that people can't make decisions for themselves and the ends justify the means. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so my final comments, not just to Doug Baldwin, but to all of the social justice warriors that come out of the Black or African or what have you demographics, if they took the time and looked at the macro view of how politics and policies and everything else has had such an adverse effect on their demographic, one would have to ask them eye to eye, why are you lockstep in embracing these progressive policies that have been out to decimate the Black demographics? Why? Why is it that you've been embracing this communism and so forth when you look at some of the things that have been stemming out of this to shape our culture, such as abortion, you know, the Negro Project with Margaret Sanger? Why is it that you're still supporting this crap? If you understand what is happening, the Blacks are going to become African Americans in America, are likely to become the smallest minority in America soon. Why? Because the progressives have an open door policy to just give citizenship to Hispanics. Do the progressives perceive the Blacks as the real threat and that they need dumber minorities to come in so that they can, because they don't speak, they're completely dependent upon them to just trust us, we'll keep chicken in your pot so that they can continue implementing this communism and the destruction of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, when the Black community, whatever you want to self-identify as Black, African, or what have you in that demographic, you are far better off when you were given an even playing field to compete instead of having to have, you know, the tables, you know, weighted down to give you an advantage such as affirmative action and so forth. The only reason that those are all divisive tools to divide us, they recognized in the 20s that we were becoming, as Lyndon B. Johnson in a commencement address, in I forget what year I cited this, he pointed out that unemployment and poverty was pretty equal amongst blacks and whites in the 20s. And so now they need to fix this disparity that we've had since then. Are you kidding me? That was just putting lipstick on a pig because it was the liberals who took over. I believe that was the liberals who brought the stock market down because it was the liberals who benefited, Kennedys and so forth. And from that point on, they started instituting policies such as putting Planned Parenthood in black communities, putting blacks in the 30s. Because Hoover was not a Republican. He was a rhino, he was a huge progressive, and he was a Wilson baby boy. I mean, he loved Wilson's policies. And if you look at this in a macro view, you got to scratch your head, why? Why is it the blacks or the African demographic here in America is seeking to support, you know, the taking away of guns, the seizing of guns? That's literally taking away one's ability to defend oneself. And they're doing this to the, you got to remember that the 14th Amendment gave the freemen, that's what we called them back then, or at least that's what they were referred to. The freemen were guaranteed the rights to bear arms, guaranteed the assemblage, you know, the assemblage association and all the things that the First Amendment guaranteed, the First, Second, and the Bill of Rights. And now they're going after those things that actually help them. It's frustrating why people are, and I think it has everything to do with our education system, the agenda, and so forth. I had a dialogue real quick. I had an engagement or intercourse with a person talking, you know, going back and forth on Facebook with a progressive, and the progressive kept on poking me in the eye over the slavery issue and so forth. And I go, look, you have to concede that the ending of slavery in the world and the, or the attempt to end slavery in the world started, and the catalyst came right here from America. Go look and tell me why Liberia and Monrovia even exist. Go tell me who were the most popular slaves in the world and who held most of the slaves at that point in time when we had our Civil War. Most everybody thought it was blacks were the, you know, the ones that were being oppressed the most. No, actually, it was the whites. Slave came from, as Thomas Sowell points out, it is a derivative of the word Slav. The Slavics, they were the preferred slaves, maybe because of, you know, their lack of education or what have you, but or whatever. I don't know. I don't know why they were the preferred, but in Russia alone in the 1800s, it was like 22 million slaves and serfs were emancipated compared to what, the 6 or 9 million here in America. And all of those were white, compared to all the blacks here. Anyway, so as we look at how we're being taught history, if it doesn't fit the narrative, then you're not going to learn those things. Because then all of a sudden you have to start asking questions. Well, if that isn't that way, if it wasn't just Africans, then what the heck? Why were we being taught this way? Because the important thing is that white people have to feel guilty that America invented slavery, and all of these lies we have to accept. We don't have to. We can accept the truth that slavery was a solution. Let's just say it was a solution for labor for over 5,000 years. Even the Bible addressed it, and I'm not even trying to excuse it. The fact is, it was a part of society just like using a belt to hold up your pants. It's what people had been using. And as a matter of fact, I considered it one of the very first sins, because if you understand God told man that he must live by the sweat of his brow, how is it that having somebody else sweat for you, is you're not fulfilling that commandment of living by the sweat of your brow? To me, enslaving somebody violates that fundamental commandment. So anyway, just my parting comments to all the social justice warriors in the NFL. I wish you would wake up. I wish if you want a good reading agenda, go to the Moby Strip Press website. I have recommended reading. I guarantee you, Thomas Sowell's White Rednecks, Black Liberal, or The Black Rednecks and White Liberals is an awesome book. It will give you the counter narrative of what you've learned, and even Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations to understand the free market, the role of government, and so forth. But anyway, let me move on. I'm running out of time, and it looks like I won't get through a lot of this stuff. So I'll cover most of the rest of this stuff tomorrow, and we'll put off, we'll just say, Dr. Vile's interview for possibly on Wednesday. The tariffs on China that are now in effect, it's about time. It is about time. We need to stop subsidizing communism in China. And you got to remember, everything you're buying from China is coming at the hands of slave labor. These people don't have a choice. These people do not have the liberty to just walk away. And as a matter of fact, back to demographics, if any demographic is worried about minorities in America, look over your shoulder at the wave of Chinese that have been coming here and that want to continue to come here, because they know we're only 300 million and it's easy because they got billions and they can easily, insert a 100 million Chinese into America very easily. And in doing so, that would actually tip the scale towards the majority becoming Asian, or more specifically, Chinese. Anyway, who knows? That might be the plan if we go in default on our loans. That might be the plan, that they just displace all of, their leaders or what they have prepared for those people as ambassadors to come in and run each of the, if you want to call them plantations, which we call California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Utah, Idaho, so forth, because they'll all become plantations of slavery for the Chinese government. They're very well positioned to be able to do those types of things. So don't think otherwise. Oh, and another thing that's kind of interesting, and it's coming from Fox. It looks like Jesse Smollett's bread and butter will be running dry at the end of the Empire season this year. They're not going to be renewing that. And another one that is dying as well is Veep, which is another progressive TV show. And so it looks like it's back to the drawing boards to change the narrative for the progressives and what we need to be focusing on and how they want to change our culture in a positive way that they perceive as positive. One thing that I really think, and I want to mention this, I think this is very, very good. The President Trump is welcoming Hungary's Viktor Orban to the White House. You got to understand, I believe it was last year, where they acknowledged that Hungary was a Christian nation and they would not allow Islam. I think that they're taking positions that are contrary to the progressive agenda and the UN agenda, Agenda 21, 2030. I don't necessarily support any oppression and or any, stoning and that type of thing for religious convictions or even sexual orientation. We shouldn't be stoning people, but we need to have policies and regulations to protecting our culture. We have to do that, or we will be washed away. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. So please stay tuned, and God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.